I'm visiting with Julie Trepeboon, school superintendent, on the program today, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good to be back.
latest and greatest information. Spring break got over. Everything went good. We had a brief. It was a little longer board meeting. Your board meeting got a little bit. It was a little bit longer.
It was a little bit longer, but it's because we had such passionate educators there to share their excitement.
It was, and we'll talk about that because I learned all about my number corner.
Yes, you did.
Among other things, too. Board, again, everything came back, and things were doing pretty, going along pretty good, I think. I mean, outside of, you had to shift around some meetings and stuff like that, but everybody came back okay.
Everyone came back.
Tracks out there. Ready to go.
I can't believe how quickly time flies, but it does.
One of the first things up was the board did have to take a look at what the district career academic. Okay, now this is, to me, something that has been going on for a while, but you're focused mostly on what, 8th through 12th grade?
Middle school and high school.
Okay, middle school, high school.
I would say 5 through 12 is what we focus on. And 7, 8 has had more of a focus this year than
now,
six.
The Department of Ed, do they want to know this information?
That's part of why it's been around for so long. The Department of Education has asked for career planning for quite some time. What that has looked like has evolved over time, obviously. Yeah. And as our EDGE programming has expanded and evolved, it obviously has helped, we think, help build the rigor of our academic planning as well. So, yeah, it's been something that's been in place, gosh. I don't even know how long it's been there, but several years. Many years,
I think the interesting part I found was as they went through and they were talking to the board about it, they said, we need to make this adjustment. We need to, I mean, there's, they're always looking at improving it and allowing the students to benefit better.
Absolutely.
Again, it ties in with Portrait of a Graduate.
It does tie in with our Portrait of a Graduate because that helps provide that vision for what it is. It will help our students be successful whatever pathway they take. And that's part of why our career academic planning is so important, because we really want our students and our families to help decide that pathway and for us not to decide that for them. And so in order to do that, you need to have them nice and well-rounded and have them have the skill sets to take whatever pathway they choose. So
I did like Jill James when she said, well, it's usually K through 12, but we'll just talk to middle school and high school.
And it is about K through 12. So part of the things that we put into the elementary, you know, basically the ICAT plan is when we have our career people come into the classrooms and share with our little ones, you know, a little bit about their careers, or maybe fourth graders are doing the electrical unit and our electricians come in. That's kind of how we incorporate some of just the career exploration in the lower grades. The middle and high school get a little bit more complex. And so I think the main message from Monday night was that we're really trying to ensure that we are talking about all students, every and each student, so that I think we've done a lot of things where they were available to students who wished to, but we're really trying to ensure that every student gets these opportunities.
And I got to go back towards the beginning because it is a collaborative it is a collaborative effort, and you have a lot of local people that are willing to, business people that are willing to step up and be a part of it.
Absolutely. So I would say every person that spoke that night about this plan made sure to thank all of our business partners, because without them, we could not do this. I mean, it's impossible to help our students see what the possibilities are without the collaboration of our community members. And that's why I think our Portrait of a Graduate is so strong, and why our ICAT planning is getting to be so robust, is because we have the volunteers willing to put the time and effort into it.
I mean, folks, they're even telling them, do you ever want to buy a house? Here are the things you need to know about doing that.
That's absolutely true. So all the practical things that everyone says we don't do in school, we actually are doing. That's what's exciting about it, is that they're learning those skills.
Anyway, that went on. So, again, that's just a presentation to the board to let them know.
That's all it was. It's just, presentation.
The board did have to take action, though, on the elementary math materials. This has been a work in progress because you've been looking at what do we do at the early ages to start that flow.
Yes.
I guess I'm going to say call it flow. Or I would go with their spiral thing. That was pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good. Just make sure it's aligned so that as they transition from one grade of the level to the next, it's just a natural progression. And so our secondary had adopted illustrative math, and that's the vendor name.
Yeah.
And so when the elementary was looking at that, that's something they didn't want to just say, well, we're going to do that because that's what the secondary is doing. But at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that our students will be in that kind of curriculum. So really try to find those curriculum that were available that were highly rated. Mm-hmm. And that would have that alignment and that spiral for our students. And really, when we looked at it for the lower elementary, like we were talking about essentially K-4, really Bridges and Illustrative were the two that they piloted. And you heard on Monday that it was a unanimous decision that, and very enthusiastically for the Bridges curriculum. The teachers are so excited about it.
They like the way, and it goes from kindergarten, what we learn in kindergarten, what goes into second, fourth graders, what they're getting. Oh, God, I love they can do this.
Yes.
I mean, it's...
And we're really hopeful that as they hit fifth grade, our fifth grade teachers are going to see. And I think Dr. Janes also mentioned that, you know, we may transition Bridges into fifth grade and potentially expand it a little bit so that when they switch buildings, they can smooth the transition even more. Yeah. So while we're adopting K-4 right now, it doesn't mean we won't potentially, depending on what our teachers see and feel is best, maybe put that into fifth grade as well.
So I already see younger ones, grandson in particular. He's already doing a lot of things that even his brother hadn't done by this time.
Yeah, so. And I would say that's the first thing. And I think Sabrina talked about that first, was the level of rigor. It automatically sets that bar higher for our kids, and they reach the bar that we put out there for them. So the teachers were just so excited to see how well the students did with the curriculum. And then also those that had piloted it are actually ahead of the other teachers in their collaborative team with the curriculum because they had used the Bridges curriculum.
I was going to say something they might do in kindergarten in 3-4 weeks. It might come back at them in another form, but it's still it's a concept they can handle.
It's a concept they can handle, and then you aren't learning something then forgetting about it and going on to the next thing. It really does spiral and allows you to make sure that you're able to apply the skills that you learned before and build upon it. And then the enrichment activities are available to students that maybe they already come into that setting knowing some things. The curriculum provides those opportunities for teachers to differentiate and allow for extension opportunities or the remedial opportunities, whatever the students need. So, yeah, the teachers are excited. So
I
got to
say, they were really excited about it, too.
It's fun to see
It did cost, folks, $85,000.
It did, but ESSER funds paid for it. So
those are dollars that were given to
them. And $85,000 is actually a very reasonable price when you compare it to other curriculums. Yeah. So,
And Jill Janes pointed out to the board there are ongoing costs. We'll have to workbooks will have to be replaced for new students coming in.
About $6,000 every year, and unfortunately, that's something we are used to doing for every curriculum that we have. So,
anyway, I know they were very excited about it too. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm very anxious for it to be implemented.
Because part of it is when you start doing some of the testing down there, how does that transition? How does that go through? And are we going to see the ever popular, 6th to 7th grade dip? Or where is that? Somewhere in there.
Well, in Boone, it's usually that 5th grade that's the dip. So it's been less of a dip in the last couple of years.
Okay.
And we almost flattened out in certain areas, but we'd like to see it continue to go up. So
that's a challenge. And by the way, not just the Boone district.
No,
a statewide.
There's
you see this little null in
there
that
is.
Age.
Always in the 5th, 6th range, but we're going to try and tackle that head on.
Right.
Yeah.
The board did get to approve. You have a contract. It didn't take long to get that settled, the contract with the BEA.
Oh, no, we did.
That was like,
no, it was fantastic.
Let's exchange ideas and
You know, in the time that I've been in Boone, that's what we've been able to do every year. And it's because our teachers are so collaborative when they come to the table, and we all want the same things for everyone. So I think That's why it goes so well for us. So
talking about a 3%, and a lot of this is without really knowing what you're going to have for new money.
We have not been given our state aid amount yet. So yeah, it's.
Which brings up the next part.
Sure. Yeah.
Folks probably got their mailing and are looking at it and going, what is this and what does it mean? For state law,
said,
auditor,
state
you have to send this out to all the taxpayers.
Yes.
And each one, well, it depends where you live, which school district you're in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the county, in the city, rural areas, you got township things, which I don't think are listed, but just the county is. And then in the city, you got the city in there as well.
Yep.
But you're missing some big ones like community college, hospital, and those in there. But you got these three anyway.
You do. And it was a state law put into place last year, changed our budgeting process. We used to have one budget hearing, and then that budget could be set. Now we have two hearings that are required. And the law.
One of them is, what's your maximum tax rate?
Exactly. And that's really that first hearing. And if everything had gone as planned, the law also states that we should have our state aid by February 9th, and we don't have it. So we had to base ours on 0% because that's what we have right now. We
most school districts probably are. They just don't know what it is. So conservatively, you got to go with your max.
Conservatively, we've got to go with the max, because if you don't do that, the second hearing, you're not allowed to up anything. It has to always go down. And so this is the potential max. We absolutely do not believe that that's where it will remain. But until we have a state aid amount from our legislature, we need to go with the worst case scenario, unfortunately.
Well, I hope they get that done soon.
I hope
it would help immensely.
It would help all schools in the state immensely to have, because we're trying to budget on money that we don't know about. So,
So some of the challenges I know that you got to work with the board on this is, we don't know what's going to happen with AEA yet.
We do not.
We don't know what the teacher salary thing is going to be yet, and what kind of impact that has, not just for beginning teachers, but for the rest of the staff.
That is correct. We do not know any of those things. So
join the crowd, folks. We're all in that same boat.
Yes, we are just anxiously awaiting to learn what we will be tasked with and what those expectations will be. So we will... time will tell.
All I can say is good luck.
Again,
you're not the only ones. Everybody's kind of facing it. And I know even among administrators in the state, some like having an opportunity. Maybe they have better resources. I'm not sure what's in each area, but they want, they don't really have to work with the AA as much. More rural areas do.
More rural areas do, as well as, I would say, the more well-versed you are in special education, the more you recognize what's at stake. So that's probably what I would say.
Okay. And she'll leave it there.
I'll leave it there.
Because we do make a lot of use of special aid services. Not just us, but our smaller districts around us.
We use their educational professional services. We use the media services. We are heavily, we use the RAA heavily in Boone. So that will be something that will be very impactful to us.
We'll see what they end up doing.
We will.
And then how we'll be able to work with what we've got and still provide the service.
Yes.
Because that's bottom line is always service for the families and
their
children.
Absolutely. It's about serving kids. And so the other piece that we're really hoping to learn about state aid, I don't know how many people realize that last year we had the certified enrollment, or this year in October, our certified enrollment was actually down. And so we go on a budget guarantee. Unless state aid would be 3.1 or higher, then we would not have to go through with the resolution we passed on Monday. If we could get state aid more than that, then we wouldn't have to tax. So we'll see what state aid is.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Exactly.
It all depends on the legislature now.
Yep.
We did get a couple of things taken care of. I think we're all done, pretty much all done with, except for us. Two subcontractors, maybe,
at
the ledges.
We have two. We cleared up one of those issues that
already.
We were at the on Monday. Yeah. Good. Yeah. We had a vendor that we had learned was going to need to do some testing that was getting during the school day and that kind of thing. Yeah, they don't need to do that. So we are, they're not doing that. So okay, we won't have to interrupt, beep, or anything like that. So okay. We will be good.
All right. And again, these are just getting things finalized. So.
Oh, yeah. We're just finalizing. The last thing, we do have some spring seating that
and we
some
knew
things
that, was
that need
coming.
To happen. That's something that's been in the plan the whole time. So, that's just now we're at that point. And so once that's all done, then we'll be able to close it out. Our hope is to close out June 30th. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, your finance people.
That's right.
Well, we want that done, too.
Exactly.
We do know that Crossroads pretty well got wrapped up there as well.
We actually had our statement that we are completely done with Crossroads. And so that is checked off our list, and we're excited about that.
All right. Let's talk about the big one that all of a sudden people are going, what? Boone was asked by the Heart of Iowa Conference.
That's correct.
To consider joining their conference.
Yes. So we received a letter. I had an email first and then a letter.
Okay.
Saying, hey, we at Heart of Iowa would love to have Boone join our conference. And if it were to occur, that would happen for the 25-26 school year. And they had requested that we respond to them by October of next fall. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the biggest thing I want to point out to people is that this is not a decision that's going to be made quickly. It's going to be a decision that's made with a lot of data collection and conversation because that's not something that honestly, we had been considering before. So,
yeah. you've been in the district, a sizable district, but a lot of schools similar size. You got some that are getting bigger, and we know that happens to growth, but we would love to grow too.
We would love to grow too. So that's one of the data pieces that we need to look at. We need to look at enrollment. We need to look at how many teams do each of the conferences have for us to compete with, both at the middle school and at the high school. What activities from the fine arts side are we able to participate in with each conference? We need to look at the free and reduced lunch population. That's something that's been popular lately, so I'm going to add that to the list of considerations. I think that might surprise some people because at the secondary level, it's much less than at when we look at just our little ones, but and our records, like how have we been performing in the current conference over the last decade or so?
Most people just look at the athletic part, but there's so much more.
Much more. So not only does this affect our fine arts, it also affects the principals that are in the same conference get together on a monthly basis. So it would change who our principals are meeting with. It would change who the superintendents meet with, because that's, you know, you get together. Typically, your conferences are similar size, similar demographics, similar things that when you're collaborating together, you can have meaningful conversations. So it affects a lot of different things, actually. So, yeah.
A lot of work yet to do. I mean,
there's a lot of work
really
yet to
because
do.
They've just inquired about it.
They literally just sent the invitation, even though I've been hearing people say this for quite some time. I did not receive the invite until very recently. So that's something that we will look at, and we will have input. There will be a time and place for people to be able to share their input. But right now, we just need to get in the data collection piece taken care of, and our enrollment study will help us too.
Yeah, and that takes a little time to get that done. So I know it's and you know, like, what benefits would there be? What challenges would there be?
What pros and cons do you have for each conference? Yeah. Right. So, and again, it doesn't even affect every athletic group. So football's in districts. So.
Yeah. There's that.
It doesn't affect football. So, I mean, or swimming.
That's an enrollment thing, folks.
Yeah. Or swimming. So that's the thing. Like, there's just a lot to this that we need to consider. So,
I do know we've been looking at, do you still have a group that you're going to be looking at doing some facility review.
Yeah. So actually, we had a meeting yesterday about our facilities assessment. So yeah, we've got a group doing a facilities assessment, just looking at each of our buildings as well as outdoor facilities to see what we need to prioritize with regard to maintenance, as well as maybe things that we need to be thinking about. So, hey, in the future, you might want to consider this. Here are the pros and cons of doing something differently or just continuing on your same path. Just a facility study that I think will help us in numerous ways.
Give the board some foresight, what they're looking at.
And I think that, absolutely. That will be very helpful for a lot of reasons.
That's if you can get those study people out of the ledges. That is such a cool building.
It is a very cool building, yes.
But and I'm pretty sure they look at it and go, wow.
It's a very cool building.
Well, we keep going ahead. Now, let's not have any snow days next week.
No.
Sorry, because we don't have any room for snow days.
No, because we are already, our last day of school is the day after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And we get out early.
There we go, folks.
Yep.
And just throwing this one in here, the legislature never did make any.
No, they did not. And I said at Monday's meeting that I did not believe that the legislature was going to take action. I heard that again in a meeting that I had today, that they do not anticipate
changing the start date, anything coming out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not dead necessarily, but it's not something that I think is on the priority. I think, honestly, from the school perspective, I would prefer to hear what our budget is. So
yeah, we get that's a priority first.
Yes, exactly.
Julie Trapa Boone, school superintendent, our guest on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.